Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 5, Text 50. Tvam na suranam asi sanyayanam. Kutasta adya purusha parana. Deva satyam gunakarma yono.
Deva satyam gunakarma yono.
Stastva jayam kavim adadheja. Tvam, your lordship. Naha, all of us. Suranam, of the demigods. Asi, you are. Sa, anayanam, with different gradations. Kutasta, one who is unchanged. Adya, without any superior. Purusha, founder person. Purana, the oldest who has no other founder. Tvam, you. Deva, O Lord. Shaktyam, unto the energy. Guna karma, yono, unto the cause of the material modes and activities. Retaha, semen of birth. Tu, indeed. Ajayam, for begetting. Kavim, the total living entities. Adadhe, initiated. Ajaha, one who is unborn. You are the original personal founder of all the demigods and the orders of different gradations, yet you are the oldest and unchanged. O Lord, you are. You have no source or superior. You have impregnated the material energy with the semen of the total living entities, yet you are unborn. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord, the original person, is the father of all other living entities, beginning from Brahma, the personality, from whom all other living beings of different gradation of species are generated. Yet the Supreme Father has no other father. Every one of the living entities of all grades up to Brahma, the original creator of the universe, is begotten by a father. But he, the Lord, has no father. When he descends in the material plane, out of his causeless mercy, he accepts one of his great devotees as his father to keep pace with the rules of the material world. But since he is the Lord, he is always independent in choosing who will be his father. For example, the Lord came out of a pillar in his incarnation as Nrisimhadev, and by the Lord's causeless mercy, Ahalya came out of a stone by the touch of the lotus feet of his incarnation as Lord Sri Rama. He is also the companion of every living entity as the Supersoul, but he is unchanged. The living entity changes his body in the material world. But even when the Lord is in the material world, he is ever unchanged. That is his prerogative. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.3, the Lord impregnates the external or material energy, and thus the total living entities come out in different gradations, beginning from Lord Brahma, the first demigod, down to the insignificant ant. All gradations of living entities are manifested by Brahma and the external energy. But the Lord is the original father of everyone. The relationship of every living being with the Supreme Lord is certainly one of son and father, and not one of equality. Sometimes, in love, the son is more than the father. But the relationship of father and son is one of superior and the subordinate. Every living entity, however great he may be, even up to demigods like Brahma and Indra, is an eternally subordinate servitor of the Supreme Father. The Mahat-Tattva principle is the generating source of all modes of material nature, and the living entities take birth in the material world in bodies supplied by the mother, material nature, in terms of their previous work. The body is a gift of material nature, but the soul is originally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Om Agyana Timiranda Siyaganandana Shalakaya Chakshur Mlitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dharati Svapadatikam. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangram Langaite Girim. Yat Kripata Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Divya Vrindaranya Kalpaju Madha Sri Maratnagara Simhasam Sto Sri Marada Srila Govinda Devo Prishtalibi Sevya Manosmarami Sri Krishnam Radhikan Shiva Lalitancha Vishakikam Sakibir Anvitam Nityam Pranamami Mohur Moho Om Rim Shaum Grang Virang Ma Vishnum Jalantam Savato Mukam Srinam Vishanam Padram Richovichum Namami Ham. You are the original personal founder of the demigods and the orders of different gradations, yet you are the oldest and unchanged. O Lord, you have no source or superior. You have impregnated the external energy with the semen of the total living entities, yet you are unborn. Hare Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam, many parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam consist of prayers which are offered by different personalities to the Supreme Lord. In this case, the devas are offering prayers to the Lord, and they are recognizing that Krishna is the original Purusha, the original person. This is similar to what Lord Brahma says in the Brahma Samhita, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Ajami. At the end of each of the verses, Lord Brahma is praising Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original. And in another one of these verses, further, he says that Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Chara. He says that you are the original person, the original personality, and also the oldest person, Adyam Purana Purusham. However, Novayam Nava Yovanam Cha, but you are at the same time, you're always appearing like a fresh youth. Many people have a conception that because God is the oldest person, he should therefore appear to be very old, meaning with a long beard and white hair, a long beard, something like this. However, Lord Brahma has said that although Lord Krishna is the oldest person, he always appears as a fresh youth. He never exhibits the symptom of old age like we do. This is the difference. So the demigods have accepted that Krishna is the original person, and that he is the source of all of them. The bodies of the living entities, including the demigods, are created by the material energy. And in this sense, as Prabhupada has pointed out in the purport, that the material energy is the mother of all of the living entities, because she is the one who provides the body. It's like the baby, the body of the baby comes from the mother. But the seed, the original seed, here the word reta is used, which means semen. The original seed is coming from the father. So, similarly, the material creation takes place. Lord Brahma is empowered by Krishna to make the material creation. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions that Brahma, Vishvasrijam Patihi, Prabhupada has translated this as Lord Brahma being the engineer of the universe. You know, when there's some big construction like a building or some other kinds of construction, the whole thing is put together by an engineer or many engineers. They assemble everything. But the materials for this building are not created by the engineer. He just assembles everything. Similarly, the ingredients of the material universe are not created by Lord Brahma. They are actually created by Krishna. And then Lord Brahma simply assembles everything according to the order of Krishna, puts everything together. And he puts everything together, then Lord Vishnu glances over the material creation and impregnates the living entities into the material creation. Then they take their birth and carry on their activities. What happens at the time of pralaya, the time of the dissolution, all of the living entities go back into the body of Mahavishnu and are sleeping. Yeah, they are sleeping. And then when creation comes again, they are impregnated into the material energy by Lord Vishnu. And then they resume their activities as they were previously in the previous creation. This is what happens. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Aham bija prada prita pita." I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. Yeah. So here, Prabhupada is talking about the relationship between the living entities and Krishna. And he's saying that this is like the relationship between the son and the father. Yeah. We know that the Christians refer to God as the Heavenly Father. And they have this idea that God is like a father, which is actually in line with what is said in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, "Aham bija pradapati," I am the original seed-giving father. In another verse he says, "Pitaham asya jagataha mata dhata pita maha vedyam avitram omkara rikshama yajur evacha." He says that I am the pitaham asya jagataha, I am the father of this universe. Yeah, mata dhata pita maha, I am also the mother and the creator and the grandsire, the grandfather. Yeah. Vedyam, Pavitram, I am the Vedas, I am the purifier. Omkara. I am this syllable, Omkara, Om. Yeah. Rik Sama Yajur Evacha. I am also the Rik and the Sama and the Yajur Veda. This is Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is the origin of everything. If you trace back in your family, your father and your mother, and then you trace back further to your grandfather and your grandmother, then your great-grandfather and great-grandmother, you just keep going back. Some people are very interested in doing this. They trace the what's called genealogy back to so many, many generations and back as far as their records. They try to trace back their genealogy. If you keep going back further and further, if it was possible to keep tracing back, you would come to the demigods and eventually you would come to Krishna. He is the original creator of everything. Yeah. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So everybody has a source. Everything has a source. Not that things come about by their own. By their own. Nothing just comes into existence. There's something behind everything. This is one of the logical proofs for the existence of God. Atheists do not believe in the existence of God. They think that everything has simply come about automatically. And I've come to know that atheism is quite popular in Australia at the moment. In fact, it was reported that only 9% of the population of Australia pray. In other words, only 9%, less than 10% of the population of Australia is actually practicing some kind of religion. And when you consider that 80% of the population of Australia consists of people who are immigrants or mixed, you know, mixed races, and many of these people are actually praying, when you look at the Australians, practically none of them are practicing religious activities. It's a fact. And if you compare to Indonesia, where I've been for the last 38 years, practically 100% of the population is praying some kind of religion, one or another. And atheism is practically illegal in Indonesia. You cannot be an atheist. You will be in big trouble if you say that you're an atheist. Because in your ID card, it's compulsory to say that what is your religion? You have to. You cannot put blank. You have to have some religion. So people are practicing. But in Australia, religion has declined very much. And most people are atheists. And some few years ago, they held the World Atheist Conference in Melbourne, in this city. Yeah. So that means there must be a lot of atheists around here. They no longer believe in God, and even the religious festivals like Christmas, the religious element is practically nothing. They just have a big party. I saw this last month. I saw my family members. They didn't even mention anything to do with religion. They just had a big party. So this is what people are doing. This is very unfortunate, and because God exists, Krishna exists, and the demigods exist. Nothing is happening automatically. Nothing is happening automatically. If we are enjoying this electricity, electric lights, and we're enjoying the water and so many things, telephone, foods. Food is coming, grains, rice and wheat, all of these things are coming. It's not that they're just happening automatically. You have to pay. What happens if you don't pay your electricity bill? What happens? Cut. Yeah. What happens if you don't pay your gas bill? Cut off the supply. Everything is happening because there's some arrangement. Similarly, this universe is happening, not automatically, but there's some arrangement. And you have to perform religious activities, which is called yajna, sacrifice. And because of the sacrifice, as stated in chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, Saha yagya praja shrishtva purovacha prajapatihi anina prashavishyadvam eshayo svishta kamaduk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu. And he blessed them, saying that you be happy by performing this sacrifice because it will bestow upon you all desirable things. So all the desirable things are coming because of sacrifice. If no sacrifice is being performed, then there will be a severe scarcity of everything. There will be a severe scarcity of everything. No rain, no grains. Yeah, it will happen. Yeah. So even Prabhupada says, even for material prosperity, so that we can get food, we need to perform sacrifice. And what is the prescribed sacrifice for this present age, for Kali Yuga? What is what is it? Yes, Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is, it must be done. It is the Yuga Dharma, this Harinam Sankirtan. Very easy to be performed by anybody. So, anyway, coming back onto this point that Krishna is considered to be the father of everybody. And the son will always offer respect to the father. This is the proper system. Although maybe in Australia people don't do that. Even they refer to their own father by his name. They don't call him dad anymore. They just call his personal name, or even their own mother. They call them by their personal name. I noticed this. It was never like this before. I have never addressed my father by his own name. I just call him dad. That was the system. But now people address their own parents by their name, not by their position. So this tradition of respecting our father and mother has gone down very much because of the influence of this modern civilization. But the relation between the living entities and Krishna is like the son and the father. But Krishna himself has no father, in the sense that Krishna is not created by anybody. Krishna is always existing. He is the original source of everything. However, Krishna wants to enjoy this relationship of the son and the father. Because of that, Krishna selects one of his great devotees to be his father, and one of his great devotees to be his mother. And this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, how certain great devotees performed austerities for many, many years. I mean 10,000 years of austerities, doing tapasya in order to get Krishna as their son or daughter. And for example, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they are very, very great devotees who have performed austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. And you can see in Vrindavan, in Nandagram. Have you been to Nandagram, Prabhu? Have you seen? On top of the hill there's the temple, and you can see the deities of Nanda and Yasoda there, with Krishna and Balaram. So Nanda Maharaj has got a nice moustache and he's like this, and Mother Yasoda, and then Krishna and Balaram are there, small Krishna and Balaram. So we cannot imagine the exalted position of such great devotees as Nanda and Yasoda, or Vasudeva and Devaki. They're also in the same relationship with Krishna. And because of the influence of Yoga Maya, Nanda and Yasoda think that that Krishna is our son and we have to protect him. Although Krishna is the origin of the universe, the origin of everything. You know that story it was reported to Mother Yasoda that Krishna has been eating dirt. Yeah. Small children have a tendency to put anything in their mouth. This consciousness is not developed. They are still on the level of anamaya, this eating consciousness. So whatever they find, they put in their mouth. And that's why the parents have to be very careful not to allow the children to put dangerous things in their mouth. Yeah? Or in their ears, or in their nose, whatever. So anyway, it was reported to Mother Yasoda that Krishna has been eating dirt. And Krishna said, no, I'm not eating dirt. If you like, you have a look in my mouth. So Mother Yasoda opened Krishna's mouth and looked inside Krishna's mouth. And suddenly inside Krishna's mouth, she saw the universal form. The whole of the universe, all of the demigods, all of the sages, everything. The entire universe was inside Krishna's mouth. And so she became bewildered and started offering prayers to Krishna's universal form, which was inside the mouth of her son, Krishna. Krishna covers great devotees like Nanda and Yasoda with his yogamaya potency. So they're thinking, oh, Krishna is our son, we have to look after him. And sometimes even they're chastising Krishna. Yeah? Sometimes they're even chastising Krishna. Mother Yasoda, Krishna was so naughty. You cannot understand how naughty was Krishna. Every day he was stealing butter and yogurt, running around, going to the neighbors' houses, stealing butter and yogurt, feeding it to the monkeys. So many things he was doing. The neighbors were constantly being terrorized by Krishna. He was doing this and breaking the butter pots, and he would put it on someone's mouth, and then when they wake up, they would be accused of stealing butter and yogurt. And then he would, after stealing all the butter and yogurt and feeding it to the monkeys, and then he would say, this butter and yogurt is no good. Even the monkeys are not interested in eating it. After the monkeys had eaten full, you know, he would say, this is no good, it must be expired or something. Even the monkeys are not interested. He was doing this all the time, and Mother Yasoda was chasing him, and finally, you know the pastime where she tied him up to the grinding mortar, which is known as the Damodara Leela. Yeah. So all of these pastimes were going on, one of them was when she looked inside his mouth. Now, Krishna covers them with the yogamaya potency so that he can increase their love for him. And Krishna can enjoy this relationship. Yeah. And Mother Yasoda was offering prayers. Krishna withdrew the curtain of yogamaya, and she was seeing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she was offering prayers to the universal form. And then after some time, Krishna once again covered the curtain of yogamaya. And once again, Mother Yasoda was thinking, Krishna is my son. I have to feed him. I have to protect him. I have to love him. Otherwise he will die. Yes. So these great devotees are thinking like that. If we don't look after Krishna, then he will die. Krishna never dies. Everybody knows that Krishna is eternal, but the great devotees are thinking like this. Even some devotees are in that mood, which is known as Vatsalya Rasa. They're relating with Krishna in the same mood as Nanda and Yasoda. Yeah. So Krishna does this in order to increase his pleasure. He accepts some great devotees as his mother and father. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sri Jagannath Misra and Sachi Devi as his his father and mother. And sometimes Jagannath Misra used to punish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, please forgive me, my dear son, please forgive me. Because I'm your father and you're my son, I have to punish you for your benefit. Can you imagine punishing Krishna? Yeah. But this is the exalted position of Sri Jagannath Misra and Sachi Mata. Yeah. Yeah, even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left to take sannyas, he actually begged forgiveness of his mother. Please forgive me. I have to do this. So, anyway, coming back onto this verse, the demigods are offering prayers to Krishna, and they are recognizing that Krishna has, there's no such thing as the origin of Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of everything. And then in the second part of the verse, they're talking about how Krishna impregnates the living entities into this universe. And Prabhupada is quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 3, which explains that Krishna impregnates Brahman. When there's the creation of the universe, as we mentioned just before, Krishna impregnates Brahman, and then the living entities take their bodies. And this goes on during the creation. And then when there's pralaya, then the whole thing is wrapped up and back into the body of Lord Mahavishnu till the next creation. So it's not that creation and dissolution only happens once. Yeah. Christianity, Islam also, their idea is that creation and dissolution only happens once. In the Vedic literature, it happens over and over again. It's explained in chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita. Creation, maintenance, dissolution, then again creation, maintenance and dissolution. Cyclic. You know, the concept of time in Vedic literature is cyclical, not linear. Not that it just happens once. The concept in the Bible and the Quran is that God created everything once, and then it's going on once, and then there'll be the annihilation. In Indonesia they call it kiamat, the day of destruction. Everything will be destroyed once. And then those who are following a particular religion will go to heaven forever, and those who are not following, they will go to hell forever. So it's a linear concept. But in the Vedic literature, it's not like that. It's just cycles. These cycles of yugas, cycle of kalpas, like this. It goes on and on and on. Yes, very sophisticated concept of time which we find in the Vedic literatures. Okay, so this is the explanation of this verse. I'm very happy to be here in Melbourne Temple again after so many years. Actually, not so long. I was here last March, but before that I was away for quite a long time. And actually, I come from Melbourne originally, and I was one of the devotees who was involved in building this temple. And yes, I could tell you many stories, but I won't. But I know this building from under the floor up to the roof and everything in between. It was a very big, you can say, sacrifice by many devotees to manifest this temple for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And he came and opened this temple personally 40 years ago. This morning I was thinking that it's very special that Prabhupada installed Radha Ballabha. He also installed Gaunitai when he opened the temple here. And Prabhupada was very happy that time, very, very happy. And he gave this term, Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. And he was quite quite impressed, and he said that no one would have thought that there would be such a temple in a place like this. He said no one would think like that, and local people worshiping those times, it was all Australian devotees. To my knowledge, there was only one Indian devotee in the temple that time, Asta Siddhi. Yeah. The rest of them were all people like Prabhu and myself and Mataji. So it was all locals who were doing everything. And I was the pujari also for a long time. Now you have many pujaris. Those days there were just two pujaris, Korma and me. I used to start at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I used to carry those three offering plates across the courtyard in the middle of winter with the chadar and dhoti and make the offering and then carry them back again. Yeah, I was cooking all the offerings and doing all the aartis for a long time. Alone. I can remember 6 months I didn't go out of the door of the temple. 6 months, just offerings and aartis, cooking the Sunday feast like this. Sleeping up there on the floor, sleeping outside here on the concrete, looking after the deity, protecting the deities. There are many stories. So I was here more than 40 years ago. And since then I've been in Indonesia nearly 40 years. And now I'm coming back again, so I'm quite happy. And I'm very happy to see Prabhu Gyanasamudra here. The old timers are now becoming rare. They've gone to their various places, and very happy to come back again. Radha Ballabha brought me back again. I remember the first time I saw Radha Ballabha was in 1973 when Prabhupada came from the airport to the temple, because the flight came in early and we were all about to go out to the airport to pick Prabhupada up from the airport. We had a bus that time, a double-decker bus, and all the devotees were out the back of the temple getting into the bus. This was Burnett Street, St Kilda. Those days, Burnett Street, St Kilda was not a very nice place. I mean, it was the red light district of Melbourne. The bus was out the back, all the devotees were in the bus, about 80 devotees, brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. And they were all about to go to the airport, and somehow I went out the front of the temple and a taxi pulled up in front of the temple. And who was inside the taxi? Srila Prabhupada and his servant and secretary, and they were carrying Radha Ballabha. Yeah, they were carrying the deities. So I just, I did dandavats at Prabhupada's feet, and I ran inside and told everybody that Prabhupada is here. And Prabhupada came inside and he brought the deities, Radha Ballabha. And he gave a darshan. There was a kirtan. He gave a darshan, and the plan was to install Radha Ballabha. And anyway, Prabhupada's servant came downstairs and looked in the kitchen, and the kitchen wasn't very clean. So he reported this to Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, the kitchen is not very clean. So Prabhupada said, tell him I will not install the deities. It's like we were all in this shock. Prabhupada is refusing to install the deities because the kitchen is not clean. And so we just did a marathon. We stayed up all night. You know, we relayed the floor, put in a new sink, put in a new stove, painted the whole kitchen in one night. Prabhu, you're doing these kinds of work now. Do you think it's possible in one night to do the entire kitchen? We did it. Huh?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Prabhu can do it. We did it in one night. We fixed the whole kitchen. And then Prabhupada's servant inspected and reported that Prabhupada, the kitchen is now clean. So Prabhupada went ahead and did the installation of Radha Ballabha. Yeah. And yeah, they were installed in Burnett Street in St Kilda, and they were worshipped there for some time, and then in 1975 they moved here, and also Gornitai were bought, and actually we had to bring a mobile crane into the back of the temple to bring, because they're so heavy, I mean, these were, they were the biggest, at that time, the biggest deities in ISKCON. At least six, you need at least six or eight people to lift those deities, I can tell you. They're very, very heavy. And they're solid. Now they're making hollow deities, but those days they were just doing solid. I don't know how many hundred kilograms, but six or eight strong men to lift them. They had a mobile crane. They brought them in the back here. Then we broke open the crates and we carried them inside with a trolley, and then we lifted them. It's very heavy. And when we did the bathing, we couldn't put them in a bowl. So they were just bathed like this on the altar, and the ghee and yogurt and honey was flowing out the front of the altar like that on the floor. Yeah. And we were using towels to wipe this. And Prabhupada personally did the aarti to Gaura-Nitai, the first aarti. He installed them and he performed. I have never seen such a beautiful aarti. Prabhupada was like this, with very slowly, with great devotion, not like now. Slowly. Don't do aarti like that. Don't do this. It's counting how many times. It's supposed to be done with love. So Prabhupada personally installed Gaura-Nitai, personally installed Radha Vallabha. And Jagannath deities don't need to be installed. Jagannath is Jagannath, installed or not installed. So Lord Jagannath actually appeared before Radha Vallabha and Gaura-Nitai in 1972, if I'm not mistaken. And they were made by a devotee called Shyamananda, carved with a chainsaw. He carved Jagannath. And the first Rabi Atra festival was held in Australia in 1972. And I attended that festival. I wasn't a devotee at that time, but I attended the festival. And the next Rabi Atra festival, I was the pujari. I was up on the chariot. Pujari. Yeah, so anyway, I have a lot of memories of this temple and cooking and doing pujas and so many things, a long history. And I remember when we did the opening of this temple, the last 3 days nobody slept. I mean, 3 days without sleeping. We were, so many things had to be finished. It was like this. The last thing I remember doing was putting the lights inside these three altars. And then I went upstairs. I was standing in front of the window, and after that I was unconscious. I woke up on the floor. I don't remember falling, but I just went unconscious. I woke up. I was wearing my overalls, working overalls. And then Prabhupada came, and Prabhupada was here, and he did the ceremony and everything. It was one. Prabhupada was so happy. So the opening of this temple is a very significant event in the history of Krishna consciousness in Australia. But this is the first property that ISKCON owned in Australia, to my knowledge. And later on they acquired others, but this was the first one. And Prabhupada was quite happy about that. And he stayed for a week, and he was up in that room, which is now Prabhupada's room there. Every night he gave, every morning he gave Bhagavatam class, every evening he gave Bhagavad Gita. And Dvaipayana Prabhu was cooking a feast every night, and Prabhupada asked to see what the feast. Although he didn't taste, he just said, "I want to see what you're offering to the deities." So they would bring in this big plate, and Prabhupada would just see that, and okay, that's very nice. Now you can distribute. But usually in the evening, Prabhupada would just take a glass of milk and maybe a samosa or something, just something small. Anyway, that time there was a big controversy about this apple crumble. Yeah. Some devotees were saying that the oats are for horses. some devotees were saying that apple crumble is offerable, and some were saying, no, you can't offer it because oats are food for horses. So this controversy was going on, and one night Dvaipayana made apple crumble, and it was on the plate, and then Prabhupada saw it, said, "What is this?" "Oh, Prabhupada, that's apple crumble." So Prabhupada said, "I want to taste that." So they gave Prabhupada a bowl of apple crumble. So Prabhupada finished off the bowl of apple crumble and he said, "Bring me some more of that crispy apples." So Prabhupada had two bowls of apple crumble. So that ended for all time the controversy around apple crumble. And since that time, to my knowledge, devotees are happily offering and enjoying this apple crumble. Yeah, and Prabhupada stayed for a week and had so many. He gave a morning walk. Prabhupada was telling me this morning he used to go on a walk on the Beaconsfield parade along the beach. I don't remember that, but I remember walking with Prabhupada in the botanical gardens. Yeah. Prabhupada went there and he used to walk and say so many things also while walking along. Once Prabhupada was walking, I tried to get close so that I could hear because Prabhupada didn't speak very loudly. And I stepped on the back of Prabhupada's sandals. And Prabhupada turned around and looked at me and said, "Don't come too close." Actually, what means is that you shouldn't be too familiar with your spiritual master. Spiritual master is always guru, always to be respected, just like here. The father is always to be respected by the son. The guru is always to be respected by disciple. Don't be too familiar with your guru. Otherwise you will do some big offenses and your spiritual life will be finished. Unless you beg forgiveness. Okay, I think it's 8:30. I think the class is supposed to finish at 8:30 if I'm not mistaken. So we'll just give a little bit of time for some questions. I have to go back to Indonesia tomorrow, but I hope to see you again. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
How did you come in contact first time?
Well, I was in the city and some devotees were distributing Back to Godhead magazines, so I got a Back to Godhead magazine and gave a small donation, and then I was walking back through the city, and at that time the devotees had a small a shop front in Little Lonsdale Street, and I went inside, and one devotee was there inside and started preaching to me. I think he preached for me about 2 or 3 hours constantly without stopping. He had the Bhagavad Gita. He said, "You should buy this Bhagavad Gita." So I bought the Bhagavad Gita. Then I took it home and I started reading. And I read the first chapter and then I got convinced that I made an altar in my room and put the Bhagavad Gita on the altar and started worshipping it with incense like this. And then I came to the Sunday feast and I got very convinced. I got a japa mala. It wasn't too long after that I joined the temple. And that was 1972. Yeah. It's a long time ago, probably. Yeah. More than 40 years. 43 years or something. 42, 43 years. A long time ago. So, it's all by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees that I could come to Krishna consciousness. I remember also when I was a student at Melbourne University and the devotees came and did Harinam on what they call the concrete lawns outside the Student Union building. Yeah, I remember that. That was 1971 or 1972. And they used to do Harinam in the city. You used to hear them chanting. Yeah. Nowadays, how often do you have Harinam? Once a week or once a month or something? Huh? Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's nice. Yes, Prabhu.
You said that very few Australians are atheists, most of them are atheists, and that sacrifice promotes the standard of living, but Australia is living we're a first world country as far as the standards of living go, so how can we justify that statement, saying that, well, there's no sacrifice being performed, and yet there's so much.
Yeah, because there are several reasons. One is that the forefathers did a lot of sacrifices and a lot of worship, so there's still something left over, and also because that there are Hare Krishna devotees all over Australia chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping deities, and this is also bringing some benefit. But material opulence is Lakshmi Devi is chanchalam. She's very flickering. Sometimes she's in one place, sometimes she goes to another place. The only place that Lakshmi Devi is permanently residing is at the lotus feet of Krishna. So where Radha and Krishna are worshipped, this brings enormous benefit. If you look at the history of the world and see, there was the Roman Empire, yeah, which was so opulent, and then it finished. There was the Greek Empire and the British Empire and so many empires which have come and gone. So similarly, the opulences of one country cannot be guaranteed to be permanent. And even countries which appear to be presently economically well off, it may not be so forever. And even some big economists are also warning about these things. And so that is why we have to be serious about our Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, as you know in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate tesham nitya vyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Those who meditate on me and serve me, I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So we're going on because Radha Balava are blessing us. And this benefit also extends to the surrounding, you know, the country. Just the fact that Australia is opulent now may not always be so. Just one thing, for example, if you turn off the oil, what will happen? Just imagine there was no petrol. What will happen? Things would stop. So the petrol is not unlimited. It's running out, in fact. Yeah, so that's why Prabhupada was also encouraging us to make some Krishna conscious villages so that we can be self-sufficient. We have in Indonesia one village, Gita Nagari Baru, in Sumatra. You're welcome to visit sometime. Yeah, we have 150 devotees there, 35 families. Devotees are living simply, but it's very nice. We have Rath Yatra every week around the village. Not once a year, one every week. We have our own school and everything. It's nice. So simple living and high thinking. It's not so easy to be Krishna conscious in a big city. Too many distractions. People have to work. They have to go early in the morning and work very hard all day and come back, by which time their energy is finished. It's very difficult to travel long distances to the temple and come back again. Yeah, it's not so easy. And now you have internet and Facebook and Twitter and all of this. So one devotee was telling me the other day, some people spend 6 or 8 hours a day on Facebook. So there's too many distractions nowadays. But if you're living in a village, and Krishna, it can easily be the center of your life, because nothing else is happening in the village. There's only the temple. So all the devotees go to the temple in the morning and they go again in the evening, and they work hard, and we celebrate all of the festivals. Devotees come from all over the place to celebrate the festivals. Gaur Purnima is the anniversary of the opening of the temple there. So this time is going to be 15 years anniversary of opening of the temple, and we have the deities of Sri Sri Radha Madan Gopal Lalita Vishaka, and we have also Gaur Nithai, and then next to the main temple is Lord Nrisingadev temple. So these are the main deities, and they all go around the village once a week. We put them on a chariot and take them all around the village, and the chariot stops in the front of every devotee's house. And the devotees come out from their house and do aarti and make an offering. Yes. And some small babies are there. They get put up on the chariot at the feet of the deities. Yeah. So this is how it used to be in Vedic times in India. So we have it in our village. We have a yagyashala also. We're doing yagya almost every week. Doing a lot of yagyas. Yeah. Anyway, we hope that Australia will be sufficiently prosperous so that Krishna consciousness can go on. But we cannot say. It all depends on Krishna. It all depends on Krishna. Yeah. Any more questions? We also have two Indonesian devotees here, I understand. Mataji Stana and... Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.